Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. It's good to be here. Thank God for another day. And it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So that's the quote from Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah. So it's good to be here. Thank God that we're here on another session. And it's been a little while since I've been on Blog Talk, because I had some glitches back a while back and couldn't get a hold of nobody, but I'm back, so thank God for that. So we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, the believers. That was one of the churches that he started, one of his prison epistles, we call it, Pauline epistle. And so he was just encouraging them and letting them know their position and everything, and letting them know, you know, there is only one God. There's only one body, one spirit. So thank God for that. You got to know. So that was the message. In the beginning, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So it's good to be here, and thank God he's been faithful. And actually left off talking about perilous times, so I want to just do another part. I believe the last time that I was on, I did a part two on perilous times. And so I want to continue on that, because it's actually, it's definitely relevant to the day in which we're living in. So we thank God for all of our Twitter listeners, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Twitter followers, our LinkedIn friends and Facebook friends. So we just thank God that we're back in the saddle, so we're able to declare the Word of God. So it is definitely a blessing to be here. Now today we want to, as we move on here, St. Paul is letting Timothy know about the danger to come in the last days. And then also, my number is changed, my guest call-in number. So should you desire to call in, if you have a question or if you have a comment, you are certainly welcome. So the guest call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. You are definitely welcome to call in should you have a question or should you have a comment. You are definitely welcome to call in. And so today, as we want to talk about our tags, dangerous times are here. So this is actually both letters in 1st and 2nd Timothy is written by Paul, St. Paul the Apostle, and to his son in the gospel. He is addressing some things. So he talks about people not giving heed to fables and genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which in faith so do. And he was talking about the end of the commandment, in charity, out of a pure heart, of good conscience, of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, having swerved, turned aside unto vain jaggling, desires to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So the thing is, has been a long time. People don't understand the word of God. This is spirit and life. That the, you know, Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he let them know in 1 Corinthians 2:14, for the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Who? The natural man, the unregenerated man, because they are spiritually discerned. So, you know, we have the mind of Christ, so you've got to be born again or you can't get this. This is not, you know, head knowledge or in all of that, your education and mental ascent and a lot of things that people are doing. But this is God's word, which is spirit and which is life. Like the Bible lets us know, Jesus said, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you're born again. That's why he told Nicodemus, you are master of Israel. You don't know these things. You know, we speak the things that we see and testify that we hear and testify the things that we see. And he went on to let him know that the wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. You canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we know when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, says Luke. He wrote the Acts. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is the fulfillment of Joel 2:28 when he says, and it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That means it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Greek, you are Jew or Gentile. So that's why St. Paul, when he had heard of the faith of the church that was at Rome, which he didn't start that church, so he said he wanted to go unto them, that he might impart unto them some spiritual gift. So he went on to let them know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where? In the gospel. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's back in Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by his faith. So we know when he wrote to the, he continues on, Romans 10, the 10th chapter, and it's a quote out of Deuteronomy when he was saying, don't go say who's going to ascend up to heaven to bring down Christ again, or who's going to descend into the depth to bring him up again. What saith it? You know, the word is nigh thee. The word is in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that thou God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's no difference between a Jew or a Greek. The same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. How then shall they call on him whom they have not heard? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they preach except they be sent? So, and he went on to say, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach good tidings. And so anyway, he goes on to say, Romans 10 and 17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is the way you're going to get faith. You're going to get it from a man or a woman that's received the word of God. They have been born again. They have the anointing of God. They're able to teach you or to be a witness to you, because you got to have the real thing, because the devil is not playing. He's an artifice. He's a master of deception. He's an anointed cherub that covereth. In the Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, God has not taken anything away from him. So you must have the Holy Ghost to be able to overcome him. So that's why periodically I ask during the broadcast and afterwards the very important question, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So he goes on here in this letter to Timothy, the first chapter, when he's talking about desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for men stealers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So you don't have to worry. That's what the law is. It's to protect the innocent and to punish the guilty. Because so a criminal, they don't care. You can't legislate love. You can't legislate somebody out of sin. You can't legislate a gangster or none of that. They gotta believe the gospel. But then they break the law, they have to be punished. So that's what the law is for, to bring. We're not in innocence like they were back in the Garden of Eden initially, but the law was instituted to bring to consciousness of people know when they're doing wrong, because they have a conscience. Or not only that, the church is their conscience. Because you could just be in the presence of somebody and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, and they will be condemned, or they will be reproved, or they will be very uncomfortable, which is a good thing. Because you don't want to be having your conscience seared with a hot iron. That means you're reprobate. So that's the state that you don't want to get in. So Apostle Paul goes on here, according to the glorious gospel and bless God, which was committed to my trust. So this gospel was committed to him. He was the last apostle. There are no apostles today. Many people are saying that they are. They don't even realize what the job of an apostle was. Initially, they were chosen by the Lord. They were handpicked. They were chosen by him. They were taught personally by him. They were eyewitnesses. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. And they died horrible deaths, except for John the Apostle. He had to write the Revelation. So he actually wrote St. John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd Epistle of John, and the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And so he had to be in the isles, called Patmos, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he heard a great voice behind him as of a trumpet. and he turned, and he saw one in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. His hair is as white as wool. His feet was like fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And so anyway, he spake, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And when he turned and saw him, he fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon him, said, "Fear not, I am he that liveth and was dead. And look at me, behold," that's what that means. "I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and of death." And so he told him, "What you see, you write and put in a book and send it unto Asia and all of the places that he told him to send it to." So that was the starting off of the churches, which are in Asia Minor, Pergamos and Thyatira and Philadelphia and all of those churches. And then the end one that we are actually living in today, the Church of Laodicea, when he was saying, "I would that you were cold or hot, but since you are lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." That's the church that he's talking about, that I'm standing at the door of Revelation 3:20 and knocking. "If any man hear my voice and open to me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." So what he's saying is repent. The Church of Philadelphia, he was pleased with. So it was only a couple of them that he was, and the rest of them were in a bad state. Just like he told the Church of Laodicea, you said you're rich and increased with goods, you have need of nothing. No, it's not that they are naked and blind and poor and miserable. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. In other words, you need to see your state and you need to repent. I come unto you and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. So it's the same message on today. People need to come clean, because nobody in their right mind wants to go to a devil's hell. So this is what the hell was created for, the devil and his angels. But people are going to go there too, because they don't want to live for God. And that's why he was telling us, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the world. The world is not of the Father, but of the world. The world is going to pass away, the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we're in that time when people are lovers of their own self, proud, boasters, blasphemers, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. So this is what he's letting people know. And so now it is amazing, and still I haven't even got to where I'm going to go into the chapter what I want to deal with about the perilous times. I'm just kind of walking through the first part here, what he is writing to his son Timothy about. And so he's going on here about, like I said, I think I made mention a little bit, he was talking about the glorious gospel was given to his trust. God, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So he's talking about himself. This is St. Paul's testimony. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but this is the kind of person that he was. But he said, "I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief." And then so he goes on to say, "The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So it doesn't matter. You didn't do nothing. Some people think because they don't drink, they don't smoke, or they don't commit adultery, they don't, they try to treat people right. You're a sinner. We were born that way. We have the old nature. That's why we must be born again. It doesn't matter your goody-two-shoes, as we would say. You don't do anything. You still need to repent, because you're not going to have the righteousness of God. You're not going to have the earnest of your inheritance to be able to get out of here. You got to be regenerated. So it doesn't matter. This is not just for drunks and thieves and people of sort, but this is for everyone. So this is why in the 17th chapter of St. John, he was saying, you know, how he winked at ignorance, because he was talking about they had an inscription to the unknown God whom you ignorantly worship. But he beheld the inscriptions back in that day. They were talking about the goddess Diana and all this stuff, the unknown God. Now, Apostle Paul was letting them know, you ignorantly worship. He be not far from any one of us. And he went on to let them know, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being, of your own poets. So in other words, this, don't try to play that. The heavens declare the glory of God in the 19th Psalm. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. So the end of that psalm is what anybody in their right mind, you should want your testimony to be, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So this is why he came into the world to save sinners. So Apostle Paul, he was a very learned and educated man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He thought he was doing right when he was persecuting the people of God. So, but that's why he was saying he did it ignorant and unbelief. So howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering and patience, and a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. Then he goes on to say, now under the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. See, this is his son Timothy in the gospel, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. We in spiritual warfare. So this is what he talks about when he wrote to that church at Ephesus in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, when he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he went on to let them know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have to realize we are in a spiritual warfare. So that's why he wrote in 2 Corinthians, I believe the 10th chapter, he let them know the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations, bringing unto the every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Every thought that acknowledges, exalted itself against the knowledge of God and unto the obedience of Christ. So no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. So he says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So see, even the man that he talked about in 1 Corinthians, I believe the 5th and 6th chapter, he's talking about this man that had his father's wife. So that was his stepmother. And he, you know, delivered him unto Satan. And he talked about delivering him unto Satan, that the body may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So we can see in Second Book of Corinthians, I believe the 8th chapter, they received him back. So you gotta. So in other words, you gotta come to yourself. I mean, sometimes people act like they don't know that they're doing wrong, but it's too much word already on hand. Too many people. God has a witness. He never left himself without witness. Acts 14 and 17. He never left himself without witness. So God has somebody living right. God has someone, somewhere living right. Somebody who's been through something that someone else is going through. And the test didn't come to stay, but the test came to pass. And it shall come to pass that the test came to pass, because it didn't come to stay. So we can follow on to know the Lord. We walk with him. There have no temptation taken us, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. But he will also with the temptation make a way to escape, that we may be able to bear it. That's 1 Corinthians 10 and 17. So God is a faithful God. So he says, exalt therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all them that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For there is this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men. Now, this is God's will right here. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So he's talking about men, except a man be born again, and he's talking about men. The Bible was written in a masculine gender, and so he's talking about the human family. Because when he talks about wisdom and he talks about understanding, you can read about that in Proverbs. It's written in a feminine light when it says, take hold of her. She is thy life. She'll deliver you. You'll be wise if you hold on to her. So that's written like that. So I see I have a caller here. And let's see, go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I was just calling to listen to the teaching.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, welcome. Yeah, I haven't been on in a while, so, but I'm back now. So, oh, thank you for being on. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, blessings.
Blessings.
Okay, so and so he's going on here letting people know. So about people praying, men ought to always pray and lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So I'm saying this really to say it is amazing now that people all of a sudden, because all of these things are going on, people want to get together and pray. People want to get together and show love. I mean, that was the message way back that you should have been doing these things. But the thing of it is, you can't just do that. You don't want, because the point being is the gospel is about the salvation of our souls. So that's good. So our sincere prayer is, and we can see the will of God, like right here, it's the will of God that all men be saved, or the human family, everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And also in the book of Peter, he was saying, you know, that about everybody, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, just like I talked about earlier. So he wants people to, in other words, turn from their way. The message that John the Baptist preached when he came on this scene, and also the message of Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. They both had the same message, Jesus' message. Repent and believe the gospel. And so to be born again. So it's for your own good, because he threw time in. God is the eternal God. He's everywhere and every place. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He became a man. He came into the world he made. That's why the Bible says in Luke 1:35, when Mary had heard the salutation from Elizabeth, the babe leaped in her womb. And then so she was talking to her, and she was saying, how shall these, this is Mary now, the Virgin Mary, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Then so the word came to her, the power of the high is going to overshadow thee and come upon thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And that's Luke 1:35. So that's the virgin birth. And then so the virgin birth is Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23, Jesus. He's going to save us from our sins. Emmanuel, which being interpreted, is God with us. So nobody could do it. Nobody could do it but the Lord himself. And so we end up, when so people's the condition of people end up just like that. One of the signs of the end times is the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And so we know before Noah built the ark, he ended up being a man that was perfect before God. He pleased God. He pleased God. Enoch pleased God. And so in the days of Noah, they were only evil continually. And so God commanded Noah to build an ark because it had never rained. You go back and read the book of Genesis. In the beginning, says there came up a mist and watered the whole face of the ground. So they thought Noah was, as some people say, nuts. Like, this man got to be out of his mind. It's never rained before. So God told him what to do, how to do it. And so Peter says, he talked about few, that is, eight souls were saved by water in his book. And he goes on to say, the like figure doth also now save us. What are you talking about? Water. He's actually talking about baptism. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, angels and authorities being made subject unto him, in the book of Peter. So we are in horrible times. So we're in times now that people are afraid. And so you can read about the signs of the times in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 13th chapter of Mark, the 17th chapter of Luke, and the 21st chapter of Luke. I mean, a lot of those, some of them are talking about Israel, more so especially Matthew, because he wrote to the Jews. But Luke is pretty much, that is talking to us, and Luke 17, Luke 21, Mark 13. So the key to it all, when he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so what they did, so it was violence. And what do we have? The same thing. It's the same devil. It's the same tactics. Like I said earlier, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Not of the Father, but it's of the world. The world is going to pass away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the same devil is working the same way. So he's coming by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's all in the world. So he's not talking about things, us loving things. God, in Matthew 6:33, he tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added. So he's going to give us what we need and some things we want. But you can't, people are drunk on things. Some people are. And then Jesus says that no man can serve two masters. I mean, this is way back during his earthly ministry. He said, you'll hold to the one or despise the other. You'll cleave to the one and hate the other. And then he went on to make it plain, you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. And so people are worshiping money. People are feeling good just because they're making money. So he goes on here just giving instructions of what people ought to do and things that are going to happen in the last days as we move on here. So he says, if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the house of God is our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we're not of ourselves, but we're bought with a price. And we do what he says, and we're born again. So he goes on here, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That's actually my out scripture. God was manifest in the flesh. That's talking about, the subject is not Jesus. The subject is God. But we know that Christ, Jesus is the Christ. He came into the world. So God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. So he goes on here as we move toward zeroing in on what we're talking about on this evening. And so in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In other words, teachings of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused. If it be received with thanksgiving, it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So, I mean, sure, it is good to want to take care of yourself. I mean, some people juice, you know, you're going to get your nutrients and everything that you need best for the body if you eat it or drink. I mean, that's fine, drink it, but I mean, not without supplements. It's better. You're going to definitely get it if you drink the right, you grind it up and drink it. Nothing wrong with that. But you eat it, that's fine. But some people call themselves different things, like vegans, and some people don't eat red meat. They don't call chicken and fish meat, as you know. They don't eat red meat. So I mean, people have things that they say and do, but everything, every creature is good and nothing to be refused, he says, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So I mean, the thing is, some people have they have high blood in their family. I forget the word I'm looking for. So it's in their genes. So certain things, you can't eat pork, then you can't eat it. It's not good for you, then you can't. But the thing that you don't do is, that's not a doctrine to put on somebody else or to instruct somebody else. Well, I don't eat it. I don't eat pork. Neither should you. You know, you should eat what's best for your health. You don't like something, certain things I don't like, but other people still like it. You know, for instance, broccoli. So we all are different. Certain things we like, certain things we don't like, but that's okay. You know, you don't try to impose it on someone else. But yes, we should be encouraged to eat healthy, to take care of ourselves as best we can, because that he also did that in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. He was saying, I pray God your body, your body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless. So we are body, soul, and spirit. You're healthy, you can serve God. You feel good about yourself, you can serve God. So should you desire to call in again, because I have a new call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. Or some just like to call the number and they're able to listen in on the broadcast, depending where they are. They may not be able to get on the computer if they're at work or whatever, but they can call the number, they can hear the broadcast. That is Truth Ministry at 929-477-2285. So we thank God that you are here. And then also our replay of viewers that's going to listen to the broadcast later on, thank God for you also, for listening in, because God's word is alive. The Hebrew writer says it's quick and powerful. So it's quick means it's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And his word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of whom we have to do. Talking about the word of God. So God's word is alive. So we go on here. There's a lot of things that he said here at the time that we are living in. So the word perilous actually refers to dangerous. So he's talking about dangerous times. And so dangerous times are here. People don't have, the ones that don't, a criminal, they don't care about the law. They don't care about none of that. They're talking about passing laws for this and passing laws for that. But a criminal don't care about no law. So they're carjacking people They're doing all kinds of stuff. So even I saw on the news the other day, I believe it was yesterday, that a man tried to take this man's car at gunpoint at a car wash, one of these hand washes. We call them hand washes. He actually had the wand spraying his own car, so he sprayed the gunman. And somebody else came after him. He sprayed them both and ran them off. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. They think they could just do anything to anybody, but, I mean, they get good for them. Ran them off. It's almost laughable, but it's not funny. It's pathetic. The nerve to try to take the man's car. So he did the right thing. He sprayed them down. So anyway, that's the time that we're living in. So we go on here because he's talking about these people. They actually left the faith because he says, the latter times some shall depart from the faith. So that's the faith of the apostles, the doctrine of the apostles, the teaching of the apostles that Jesus gave them, the 12 whom he chose, the 12 whom he gave the word, the 12 who he commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they drink any deadly thing, and shall not hurt them. And Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 15th verse, and he goes on to say, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And he said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so, in Luke's gospel, he says, these are the words which I spake unto you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he led him out as far as Bethany and lifted up his eyes, his hands, and blessed them. So he told him, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we know Luke was the writer of St. Luke. He was the beloved physician. He was Dr. Luke. He also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, as we call the Acts of the Book of Acts, or the Acts of the Holy Ghost, is what it literally was. And so we go on here as he goes on here talking about things that people were doing and people were trusting in God, a widow indeed, in the 5th chapter of 1 Timothy. And then he goes on in the 6th chapter here talking about people they teaching otherwise, wholesome words, then, you know, they're heretic, knowing nothing. So he says, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. That's what I just talked about earlier. And so people, you can't serve two masters. So he went on to make it plain, you can't serve God and mammon is money. So he goes on here, these people thinking that gain is godliness, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, some such withdraw themselves. In other words, get away from them. And then he goes on here, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out, having food and raiment. Let us be therewith content. They will be rich, fall into temptation, a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition, in destruction and perdition. And he goes on to say, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after, have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So he lets them know, thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, whom Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. So as we're moving on here, should you desire to call in, should you have a question, our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. I am Elder Michael E. Cannon. I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. You are in tune to Truth Ministry. And so my theme, the Godhead, the God who is the head of all things. There is no such thing as the Trinity. God is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So it's the same God who laid down his life, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. God so loved the world, 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John goes on to say, for God sent not his world and his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he went on to let them know, everyone that hated the light, you know, unless his deed should be reproved. And he went on to let them know, this is the condemnation, that light has come in the world because men love darkness rather than light. And why? Because their deeds are evil. So the light will reprove you when the light comes. So here in the second epistle of Timothy, he goes on here talking about the faith. His son Timothy is the second letter. He's talking about, I thank God whom I serve, for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have made remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He went on to let them know, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we go on here as what we wanted to talk about, the perilous times in the third chapter of 2 Timothy. And I know my time is almost gone. So he's letting them know, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Let's back up a little bit. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud. Who does that sound like? You know who it sounds like. Donald Trump. I am very rich. I mean, so we thank God that he has been merciful unto us. And thank God. See, God has to grant you repentance. So repentance is very important, because this is what he told Cain. If you had it done right, in other words, he could have recovered himself. But sin was at the door. He was envious of his brother. And because God accepted Abel's offering, because he bought the offering that God accepted, was of the, you know, he bought a blood sacrifice, and Cain bought of he didn't bring a blood sacrifice, so God was not pleased with that offering. So it came to pass in the process of time that Cain slew his brother Abel, because his own works were evil and his brother's works were good. So this is the time, and so this is why the Bible says wrath is cruel in Proverbs, and anger is outrageous. But who is able, it says, to stand before envy? So what happened? Envy, that is why Joseph got sold. Because of envy. But God fixed it, because he let all that happen, but he had a plan. So he went before them to preserve them in the days and years to come. So even when they killed Jesus, you read in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and the first chapter, the first first, second, and third chapter, when he's bringing talking about the gospel and what they'd done, And he was talking about the weakness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. You see your calling, not many wise, not many noble. God has taken the things, the foolish things, to confound the wise, the base things that are mighty. The whole key is it ends up that no flesh shall glory in his presence. As it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So that's out of the book of Jeremiah. So anyway, so people, we have gotten to that time where people, they don't like you. They're envious of you. So if we focus more on ourselves like Jonah should have done, and God turned from what he was going to do because those people repented. And it was a lesson. Jonah had to see himself. You didn't want him to turn. So we can't have that kind of attitude. I mean, we didn't have that kind of attitude when we were in the world. So a lot of us done good things. People got good weed or whatever they were in the world. First thing they wanted to do was to tell somebody else about what they had, how good it was. So how much more now that we have the real thing, and that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we're in the last days, and so people are doing all these things without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, all these peace agreements and all these things that are going on. They don't have a leg to stand on. People are not loyal as they should when it comes to that. Nobody want to tell you to tell them, these different countries, what they can do with their nuclear weapons. They got that stuff. They want to play with it. They want to use it, and they're going to. So we have to read in the book of the Revelation, read in the book of Daniel. So many things that God is going to do. So people are traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he letting them know from such turn away to his son Timothy. Because God hates religion. So, and Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is not a denomination. Pentecost is a day. So that was the 50th day of the Passover. Jesus was on the earth for 40 days. After his resurrection, he went back to heaven. 10 days later, he sent the Holy Ghost the 50th day after the Passover. So that's why the doctrine of Jesus Christ and people talking about apostolic, I've never seen so many people talking about apostolic. They don't even know what apostolic is. Apostolic is like the apostles, and don't realize that where the baptism that they say the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he never said say that. He said baptize in the name, Matthew 28 and 19. 18th verse, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You got to understand that that he came into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. In St. John, the first chapter, is what I read when I come in. Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it was God himself. He said he's going to show you a sign. Virgin is going to be with son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So the only one God is one in the Godhead. One. Anything with more than one head is a freak. We don't understand that God is eternal. He knows everything. He declared the end from the beginning. We don't even understand. It's mind-boggling. He's a spirit. It doesn't matter what he became. He's become a man. He could be the angel of the Lord. He can appear in the flame of fire, a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, the angel of the Lord. He can work. He works in men and women. He works in people. He is God. There's none else. There's none like him, none with him, none after him, none before him, none beside them. He asks, is there a God beside me? I know not of any. So he's eternal. He's always was. That's why Moses wrote the psalm, before the mountains brought forth, ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So he threw time into eternity so he can have a people to get themselves ready. And so what some are upset about is the fact that he gave Israel the oracles of God. They were the chosen people initially. He came unto his own. His own didn't receive him. Many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even that were born not of the will of the man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. So to them that believe on his name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Isaiah said, every knee shall bow unto me, every tongue shall confess to God. St. Paul got the revelation that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in the third chapter of the Philippians, when he wrote to the church, the Philippi church. And so this is why we're endeavoring to try to tell people. So what do you got to do? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. God promised to give you the Holy Ghost. So the promise is unto you Jews in Acts 2:38, going downward. So when he preached on the day of Pentecost, to you Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we always see throughout history in the Bible, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, they baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. So baptism was changed. That so-called monstrosity trinity came in 320 A.D. when Constantine had that vision. That's where the church that's at Rome, not the Romans as we say, but you know what I'm talking about, the Vatican and all that, that's not God's church. And he told us, don't call no man father. They're worshiping this man, calling him father, calling him the Holy Father. No, the Holy Father is God. God's holy mountain always has been, always will be Jerusalem. That's why John wrote, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Who ever heard of a city suspended in mid-air? So we don't understand who God is. But anyway, he goes on here. He's talking about all these things. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so if you turn and go like Judas did, being a traitor, being a deceiver, you're going to be in a worse state too. You turning from the holy commandment. That's what Peter's talking about in his second letter to the church. But the day of the Lord is going to come, and it's a thief in the night. Heaven's going to be on fire. The earth's going to be on fire. The heaven is going to melt with fervor and heat. So he says, nevertheless, we, according to this promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So God's word is true. So we thank God that we're here on today, and thank you and you that will listen to the replay. Thank God for you. And so as we sign out, we're signing out on this evening. Just thank God for you, and we invite you come back. Truth Ministry is back. So thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truth, MINISTRY, 5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believe on in the world, receive up into glory. So remember my ongoing question that I always ask, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you.